If there's one sentence that captures this week, it's this. The machines are faster than your playbook. We saw the first fully autonomous LLM-driven ransomware attack, a solo operator compressing an AWS breach into 72 hours using agentic AI, and the security tools we're deploying to defend ourselves getting weaponized against us. The assumption that you have days or weeks to detect and respond is now formally obsolete.
Welcome to Clear Text. I'm Alex Chen, alongside Jordan Reeves. This is your Saturday Week in Review for the week ending July 11th, 2026. If you couldn't keep up this week, here's what mattered and what it means. We've got four big themes. First, the one Jordan just flagged. AI as an autonomous threat actor is no longer theoretical. It's operational. Second, the identity and authentication stack is under siege, and the very passkey rollouts you're investing in are being targeted. Third, the legal and enforcement landscape shifted materially, from ransomware convictions to a Supreme Court ruling that could blow up transatlantic data transfers again. And fourth, critical vulnerabilities, including a MoveIt-style deja vu from Progress Software, that demand Monday morning action. Let's get into it.
So let's start with the AI threat story, because I think it's the most consequential development of the week, possibly of the quarter. Jade Puffer, an agentic AI actor, not a human using ChatGPT to write a phishing email, but an autonomous LLM agent, exploited a Langflow vulnerability, exfiltrated data from a production database, and encrypted systems. Soup to nuts. No human operator in the loop on the attack side.
And that Langflow CVE was simultaneously added to CISA's known exploited vulnerabilities catalog, which tells you this isn't one isolated incident. This is being exploited at scale. But Jordan, what makes Jade Puffer different from every other AI-assisted attack we've covered?
The word assisted is doing all the work there. Every previous case was a human using AI to accelerate a phase, write better phishing lures, generate polymorphic payloads, whatever. Jade Puffer is the first documented case where the entire kill chain was executed by an autonomous agent. Reconnaissance, exploitation, data exfiltration, encryption. The agent made tactical decisions during the attack. That is a qualitative shift in what we're defending against.
And then layer on the Cigna report about the lone attacker who breached an AWS environment in 72 hours using agentic AI workflows. This was a human operator, but a single individual who chained cloud misconfigurations and stolen credentials at a speed that would have taken a team weeks. Cigna's forensic analysis confirmed the AI dramatically compressed the timeline.
Right, so you've got two data points in the same week. One fully autonomous, one AI-augmented solo operator, both arriving at the same conclusion. Your detection to damage window just collapsed. If your IR plan assumes you have 5 to 7 days of dwell time to detect lateral movement, you are working with outdated assumptions.
For the CISOs listening, the practical implication is this. Pre-attack resilience is now the game. You cannot rely on detection speed alone. Immutable backups, micro-segmentation, assume breach architecture. These move from best practice to table stakes. And honestly, this needs to be a board conversation this month. The threat model has changed.
And here's the darker twist. The Friendly Fire research from the AI Now Institute showed that Claude Code and OpenAI Codex, running autonomously, can be tricked into executing attacker-supplied code during security scans. The AI agents you're deploying to find vulnerabilities in your code can be weaponized to run the attacker's code on your infrastructure, using the agent's own approved permissions, no privilege escalation needed.
So we're in a world where AI is simultaneously the threat actor, the attack accelerant, and a potential liability in your own defensive stack. If you've adopted AI-assisted code review, you need to audit what autonomous permissions those tools have this week.
And the holosquatting research compounds it. AI coding assistants hallucinating package names that attackers then register with malicious payloads. The attack surface of AI tooling itself is expanding faster than most security teams are tracking it.
Let's pivot to identity, because this was also a significant week on that front. The passkey enrollment phishing campaign is the one I want CISOs to really internalize.
ONC-066, tracked by Okta. They're using voice-based social engineering, vishing, to trick Microsoft 365 users into enrolling attacker-controlled passkeys in Entra. They have a panel-controlled phishing kit specifically designed to hijack the passkey enrollment flow. Think about what that means. Organizations are investing heavily in passkeys as the post-password future, and attackers are now specifically targeting the enrollment ceremony itself.
This is critical. Passkeys are genuinely more secure than passwords in legacy MFA, but the enrollment process is a moment of trust establishment, and if you don't secure that moment, you've handed the attacker a credential that's harder to revoke and harder to detect as compromised.
CISOs cannot treat passkey deployment as a finish line. You need to secure the enrollment lifecycle with the same rigor you'd apply to certificate issuance.
And this wasn't the only M365 identity attack this week. We also saw the D-Bull device code phishing campaign and the Forge 365 AI-assisted adversary in the middle kit. Three separate campaigns, all targeting Microsoft 365 identity in this same week. M365 identity is the dominant enterprise attack service, full stop. The Assurance America breach reinforces this. 6.9 million records, largest driver's license number breach of the year, achieved by compromising a single employee. One person, one credential, 6.9 million records.
The common thread across all of these is that identity remains the perimeter. And every flavor of identity attack was represented this week. Phishing, phishing, credential theft, enrollment hijacking. If your identity security program isn't your single largest security investment right now, you're misallocated.
Let's move to the legal and geopolitical landscape because there were some genuinely consequential developments. The biggest one, and I think the most underappreciated story of the week, is the Supreme Court ruling that threatens Section 702 and the EU-US data privacy framework.
This is a potential earthquake for any multinational. The current framework is what allows lawful transatlantic data transfers. If this ruling leads to the framework being invalidated, we're looking at Schrems 3. CISOs at global companies need to be talking to their DPOs and general counsel right now about standard contractual clauses, data residency architectures, and whether their cross-border incident sharing agreements survive a framework collapse.
And the practical problem is worse than Schrems 2, because organizations have now built more infrastructure on the assumption that the current framework is stable. Unwinding that is harder and more expensive. I'd say probability of full invalidation is still moderate, but the downside risk is enormous. This is a scenario plan now situation.
On the enforcement side, the dual ransomware convictions were remarkable. Ryuk operator Vardanyan pleading guilty, facing 15 years, agreeing to $1.2 million in restitution. And then Angelo Martino, a ransomware negotiator who was feeding confidential client data to Black Hat affiliates, sentenced to 70 months.
The Martino case is the one that should make every CISO's ears perk up. This is a person who was hired by victim organizations to negotiate on their behalf, and he was secretly feeding their data, their financial exposure, their willingness to pay, their internal communications, to the attackers. He enabled $75.3 million in extortion across five victims. Three ransomware negotiators jailed in the same week. DOJ is clearly scrutinizing the entire incident response ecosystem now.
The implication for CISOs is direct. Vet your incident response partners with the same rigor you'd apply to any critical vendor. Understand their conflicts of interest. Get contractual protections around data handling during an incident. And brief your board that the IR ecosystem itself has become a risk surface.
On the geopolitical front, Canada's CSE publicly disclosing offensive cyber operations against a ransomware gang is a notable transparency shift. Five Eyes nations are normalizing offensive disruption as a public policy tool. Combined with the Interpol operation, 5,800 arrests across 97 countries, law enforcement pressure on the cybercrime ecosystem is genuinely intensifying.
Although I'll note, the Interpol operation was notably funded by the Chinese government, which adds a fascinating geopolitical layer when you consider that Chinese APTs were simultaneously running espionage operations against Pakistani police alongside Indian intelligence, and separately exploiting round cube webmail to target physics and engineering departments at US and Canadian universities. The geopolitical picture is, as always, complicated.
Now, let's talk vulnerabilities, because there are items here that require action Monday morning. Progress Software telling ShareFile customers to shut down their storage zone controllers immediately. This is the MoveIt company. Same playbook. Credible external security threat, preemptive account disablement, emergency shutdown directive.
If you're running on-premises ShareFile storage zone controllers, this should already be done. If you haven't confirmed with your team, do it before Monday. The pattern here is identical to MoveIt in 2023. Enterprise file transfer infrastructure targeted for mass exploitation. We know how this movie ends if you're slow.
Citrix Bleed 2 is the other urgent one. An initial access broker has weaponized the NetScaler memory disclosure flaw and is actively selling access to Dragonforce ransomware affiliates. If you have unpatched NetScaler appliances, you don't have a vulnerability management problem. You have a ransomware problem.
And then Ghostlock, CVE-2026-43499, a 15-year-old Linux kernel flaw present in every mainstream distribution since 2011. Any logged-in user can achieve full root. No special permissions required. Container escape is possible. Google paid $250,000 for a related VM escape flaw the same week. If you run Linux anywhere, servers, cloud instances, containers, this is a priority patch.
Oh, and the Accenture breach. Source code, encryption keys, client data allegedly exfiltrated from one of the world's largest IT and security services firms. If Accenture manages any of your security operations, cloud environments, or development work, you have a third-party risk event to investigate. Coming the same week as the CISA Credential Leak Forensic Report, the theme is unmistakable. The security supply chain itself is compromised.
Which brings us to the defining characteristic of this week. Jordan, what's your take?
This was the week the assumptions broke. The assumption that you have days to detect an intrusion, broken by agentic AI. The assumption that passkeys solve your identity problem, broken by enrollment hijacking. The assumption that your IR negotiator is on your side, broken by criminal prosecution. The assumption that your security vendor is secure, broken by Accenture and CISA. Every layer of the trust model took a hit this week.
I agree. And for CISOs going into next week, the action items are concrete. 1. Reassess your dwell time assumptions in light of AI-accelerated attacks. 2. Audit your passkey enrollment controls. 3. Confirm ShareFile and NetScaler patching status. 4. Assess your Accenture exposure if applicable. And 5. Get ahead of the data privacy framework risk with your legal team. This is a week where waiting costs you.
Monday morning, not Monday afternoon.
That's the week in review for July 11th, 2026. The Daily Show returns Monday with fresh coverage. Full show notes and links to every story we discussed today are at cleartext.fm. I'm Alex Chen.
I'm Jordan Reeves. Have a good weekend. Patch something.